This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and kindle within us the fire of your love. Help us realize that we are at home in you, within us, coursing through us. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and souls, our very bodies, and set them on fire with love for you and gratitude for your mercy, that we may give mercy to all creation. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. I'm so happy to be here. Many of you know that Chris and I got married just over 2 years ago, right before the pandemic, made for a great honeymoon time. And before I knew Chris, and he lived up north in Virginia, he had a cat. Now, this was a great little cat. His name is Gio. But Gio doesn't do real well with change. And so one time up north, he got lost, ran away, and Chris had to go looking for him, right? Did he have the chip then? He had the chip, so the chip found him. Okay, so it was three times. Chris had the foresight to have a chip implanted in Gio's ear so that if he ever got lost, somebody, hopefully, would take him to a vet, and they would be able to find Chris's phone number and return him. Well, that worked in Virginia. So then he moved down to Florida after he retired, moved into Boca with his kids. Gio was fine. We got married. I moved in. Everything's still fine. Gio's great. And then we decided to move to Delray. We moved to Delray, and sure enough, Gio disappears. He's gone. We just searched everywhere. Chris sat in that backyard after we moved everything out, whole afternoon, a couple times, waiting and waiting and waiting for Gio, and no Gio. So we went to our house in Delray, and sure enough, Chris gets the phone call. Somebody had found him, and we were reunited once again with Gio. He went and picked him up, and he was back home. Home, safe and sound. Well, as also you know, when Chris's mom, Sally, went into hospice last year, we decided that we were going to move in with her, and we had also purchased a home in North Carolina. And so we knew we were going to have a lot of movement, lots of back and forth, that we were going to move all our stuff to North Carolina and then move in with his mom so we could be with her during her transition time. And we knew that Gio would not do well with this. So we were looking for a home for him. And lo and behold, Christian had gotten a house. This is Chris's son, had gotten a house just off Atlantic in Delray. And he was willing to take Gio. He was happy to take Gio. So took him to Jessica, my niece, Annette, and Doug's sister. Got him all fixed up, took him over there. He was all happy, and Christian was happy, and then he disappears. He's gone again. Well, this time he was gone for 3 weeks. We thought for sure that he was long gone. We move in with Sally, and then one day, Chris gets a phone call, and sure enough, this woman had found Gio in her backyard, like 2 miles through heavily trafficked area over 3 weeks, and he winds up in this woman's backyard. Well, that might be amazing in itself, except that she told us this story that she had had 4 dogs, and one by one over the last few years, they all died. She was heartbroken. She just told her sister, "I'm not going through that again. I've had enough of it. I don't want any more dogs." And then she sees this video on TikTok of this cute little kitten and a cat, and she decides, "Well, maybe I'll get a cat, but I'm telling you what, this cat's going to have to find me. I'm not going looking for this cat." Gio shows up in her backyard. Pretty amazing. Gio had found his home, and his home had found him. This place has always been home to me. And when I read the collect for the other service, and it read, there was this line in there that you'll see, that he may live in us and we in him. We carry our home within us if we know that we are in Christ. And in the psalm appointed today, there's another little verse. It says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will watch you with my eye. No matter where we go, God is with us. And we can rest assured that we are in Christ, who lived before Jesus walked the earth and lives now. We know that we can be home. This place has always been my home. Always. I moved here from Wisconsin when I was a year and a half, 1956. So, yep, I'm that old. My parents were some of the founding members. I went to this elementary school. This makes me the longest, not oldest, but the longest parishioner that's living. So it's a little difficult to know that I'm going to be moving away from here. The place where I went to school, I became the first paid children and youth minister, taught Sunday school, did the youth group, then was able to do it in a professional way. My kids were baptized here. And then when my precious daughter, Katie, died suddenly in that car wreck back in 2003, it was this place, these people here, where I felt at home, where I felt loved, where I felt mercy and deliverance. If you're doing the small group series, you know that mercy also means loving kindness and deliverance. And that's what I got from this place. Also from this place, walking down this very aisle one Wednesday morning with the school kids, I got called to the priesthood. I was a blubbering idiot, crying down the aisle and back into the back. Went off to seminary from this place, not thinking I'd be back. And then lo and behold, there was a position for an associate priest, and it worked out. You really can come home. And now, we have purchased a home, my beloved husband and I, in North Carolina, and we'll be going up there. And what I've also learned from this place is that I carry home with me. When we can know Christ within, that's home. That's home. Paul knew this. Paul's writings are some of the most revelational, is that a word? Revelationary word in all of Scripture, because he writes about being in Christ. Now, if you know Paul's background, he was persecuting Christians, killing them. He was horrible. Then he's walking down the road, he's blinded by the light, the living Christ. He never knew Jesus in the flesh, but he came upon this light. And he said something like scales fell from his eyes. And that he knew then that he was in the presence of the living Christ. And from then on, in all his writings, if you go back and listen to what he writes, you'll hear it again and again and again and again. This presence that is with us right now. And that will always be present. Always. That we can hold on to that, just as he did in all the travails that he went through. He suffered persecutions himself for being Christian. He was in shipwrecks. He was flogged. He was tortured. He was in prison. And still, he would write, even from prison in chains, these beautiful letters, encouraging other people in the areas far and wide to follow Christ and to know the joy of living in that way. I pray that our brothers and sisters in the Ukraine and in Russia can know a little piece of that in the midst of the horror that they are experiencing, and that the powers that be would somehow get a glimmer of this light through the trees. Hopefully, that there can be some kind of a peaceful transition now after all this death and dying, and that they realize, some of them, that they do carry it within them. It's just like the quote from Etty Hillesum when she was in the concentration camps in Nazi Germany. This is what she wrote to God. All we can manage these days, and also all that really matters, is that we safeguard that little piece of you, God, in ourselves, and perhaps in others as well. Alas, there doesn't seem to be much you yourself can do about our circumstances, about our lives. Neither do I hold you responsible. You cannot help us, but we must help you and defend your dwelling place inside us to the last. Now, she was Jewish, obviously, but she knew that living light within her, that universal light that Jesus of Nazareth taught us about and came and lived. We carry it with us wherever we go. Which brings me to the parable and the beach ball. Jesus had been confronted by the Pharisees and the scribes, and they're grumbling because he's hanging out with sinners and tax collectors. Tax collectors were thieves back in the day. Maybe some still are, but I don't think as much as they were then, they were known for that. Sorry if I offended any tax collectors. So they're grumbling and grumbling about him and that he's hanging out with them. And who else would he be hanging out to? They're the very people that he needed to be with, to meet them where they are, to love them into being. So he needed to do something that would surprise him, surprise them. Parable means para is beside, and bala is to throw. So it means to throw beside. It's just like this beach ball. So if I throw it out there, you're going to catch it? Did she catch it? Ready? Oh, Janet got it, right? So it changed the energy, didn't it, right? It changed the energy in the room. It got your attention. It woke you up if you weren't awake before, right? Well, that's exactly what parables do. Parables, Jesus used them time and time and time again to wake people up, to get their attention. And then he tells them this story. And he wants them to know that we are all of those characters. We are that prodigal son that's off wild. We are that loving father that can forgive people. We are that elder son that says, what about me? I do all the work. Everybody else gets credit. What about me? He wanted the Pharisees and the scribes to know that we need to meet people where they are. And that's mercy. Mercy for ourselves, mercy for other people, in compassion and loving kindness and deliverance, yes, and deliverance. The light through the trees. I once visited a young man in mandatory drug rehab. He was sent there by the courts for 4 months. He had a choice either to go to juvenile detention or go to drug rehab. He had gotten into trouble, and he had the opportunity to go to a probation officer to have weekly drug tests, and he did well in the beginning and then started to not show up for those probation visits, started to fail his drug tests, and that's when they gave him this choice. He chose to go into drug rehab, and that's where I visited him. I was hoping that when I got there, I would find this contrite, humble young man, and what I found was this cocky young man who began to tell me, I thought we weren't going to have anything to talk about. He talked the entire time, and he told me all of this stuff that he was involved with that his mother didn't know about, his father didn't know about, the law didn't know about, so he thought, and it was federal crimes that he had been involved in, and they were horrible. So I listened, and I listened. I tried to meet him where he was and just listen. He was getting enough punishment. He was getting enough ridicule. Don't get me wrong. It's not that we can do whatever we want. We're going to be forgiven by God no matter what. We will be forgiven no matter what and loved no matter what. But there will be consequences. And that's what this young man was suffering. And yet, he had not come to himself. And so at the end of the conversation, I said to him, I hope that you'll make different choices, and I will continue to love you, and I will visit you in prison because you will get caught. I'll visit you in prison. He got a tear in his eye. It gave me some hope. I don't know what happened to him. I don't know how it will turn out, just like we don't know what happened with the elder brother in the parable. We don't know. Jesus leaves us hanging, and I think that's by design, so that we're faced with the question, who are we? Are we going to ridicule other people for what they have done, the tax collectors and the sinners back in the day? Or are we going to try to meet people where they are and love them no matter what? It's a tall order. It's a high bar. But when we know the presence within us and that we are home in Christ, we can do all things through God who strengthens us. Paul wrote that too. I leave you with a beautiful, my favorite quote by Thomas Keating. I'm not going to leave you. I mean, I'm ending. This presence is so immense, yet so humble, awe-inspiring, yet so gentle, limitless, yet so intimate, tender, and personal. I know that I am known. Everything in my life is transparent in this presence. It knows everything about me, all my weaknesses, brokenness, sinfulness, and still loves me infinitely. This presence is healing, strengthening, refreshing just by its presence. It is non-judgmental, self-giving, seeking no reward, boundless in compassion. It is like coming home to a place I should never have left, to an awareness that was somehow always there, but which I did not recognize. Amen.